Talk live with psychics online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome everyone. We are here for another Monday night topic, and it's growth through grieving. Well, I think we've all experienced that, and I have with me tonight Stars James, and I have Stars Dragon Spirit to talk about mourning and probably the stress that it involves even after. I mean, it can go on for a long, long time. I know, for example, because of the loss of my husband, and James because of the loss of his father, and I'm sure Dragon Spirit has had a loss, and it's a tough thing. It's really, really tough, all the emotions and everything. So without hesitation here, I'm going to turn this right over to Stars James, and he can begin the show.
Hello, this is James, and I am Stars James on the website www.starspsychics.com. That's Stars with a Z, psychics.com. And then I have with me Cheyenne, who I will be referring to as Cheyenne, but if you are interested in what she has to say, or you would like to get a session from her after listening to her, she can be found at Stars Psychics as Stars Dragon Spirit, and that's Cheyenne here on the show. And tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about grief, and really what the purpose of grief, or really what we can attain through this progression that we go through, the grieving process, and why it's so important to really be serious about it. And when I say be serious about it, I don't necessarily mean, I mean, it's always serious. If we lose something, it's always serious. But there are strategies that we can take even before loss, and then there are things that we can do after we have lost something that really can help us grow and help us become a more dynamic person in this world, influencing and bringing light into this world. So that's really what we're talking about today is growth through this process of grieving and loss. And So I would first like to open up with just, you know, what is grieving? What is, you know, how does it work? And to me, any time there is a shift or a change in our circumstance, specifically related to relationship, but not always, anytime we experience any kind of shift, that is a grieving process. I mean, there's even a grieving process. I know I do feng shui a lot, at least once every, I would say once every 6 months to once a year. It really depends on where I'm at and, you know, what's going on in my life at the time. But there is a grieving process even in just letting go of stuff that you're no longer using. I can remember at one point picking up shirts or clothes that had reminded me of the past. I mean, the style had passed on, and it's just something that was old. But I can remember the only way I could let it go was to kiss it and say, I love you, and then let it go that way. And so really, grieving is about letting go of situations from the past and what we were in those situations, because really the dynamic of who we are does change because our relationship changes, but who we are as an individual really doesn't change. It's just that dynamic and that expression that we have in the world that changes. So I think that's important to remember as well. And I mean, that's kind of my definition of grief. I'm not going to go through the stages. I mean, there's certainly stages of grief and things of that nature, but I really kind of want to focus a little bit on two things. First of all, you know, how to prepare for how to be ready for what life has to offer you in terms of loss. And I guess, you know, we really are never fully ready when we experience loss. But I do know that there are certain techniques and certain things that we can do to kind of make it so that we're not, you know, that we don't lose sanity in the face of loss. And then what to do afterward? How can we, you know, what strategies can we take and what can we attain through this process of grief? So with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to Cheyenne, and we'll get her explanation or definition of what she feels grief is. So go ahead and pass it on to you, Cheyenne.
Thanks. First, hello to everybody in the room. Thanks for coming. I think grief is a lot of different things, and I totally agree with one thing that I would like to bring up that you hit on. People don't realize that sometimes they grieve for themselves. As you were saying, different things as we go through our lives and as we go through the stages and as we grow and go through these changes, there are times that I have known personal friends and clients, and myself even, that when you have hit a certain plateau or when you've moved into another stage, all of a sudden you will catch yourself feeling like you've lost something, you know, or find yourself crying over something, and you don't even know why you're crying. This is what I call grieving for ourselves. And again, when someone's grieving, it's not just, you don't grieve over just, you know, loved ones, which is a biggie, but you also grieve over the different things that are in your life that, you know, that you lose or you grow out of, in other words, into these other stages. And a lot of people a lot of times have a very difficult time of finding a way of letting go. And the thing is that when you let go, that's when the breakthrough comes. But it's getting to that point, finding what I call a go-to that'll get you there. Everybody, you know, is pretty familiar with the different stages of grieving. So you know if you're in that stage. You know if you have shifted into that stage. And 9 times out of 10, if you just stop and be still, there's going to be something that's going to pop into your mind or something that appears. There will be something that will be in front of you that you didn't see before, because it's very easy when someone is grieving to get lost, to feel lost, to become detached, withdrawn, so forth and so on. So it takes different things in different situations in order to pull ourselves out of it. One period that I went through my personal life many, many years ago was extremely difficult. And I just stopped. Didn't do anything. And then one day I went on the computer, I was looking through books, and I found this book called Letting Go. And then also a book called The Woman's Soul of Healing. And I had never seen that book before, and I went ahead and got it. And through the years, since that time period, if I feel myself getting into that shift, into that mode again, grieving over whatever it is that is going on, the first thing I do is I grab that book, and I stick to that book every single day. So that's what helped me. You know, there's other things, as you said. You can change things in your home, and you will. After, you know, during the process, you'll think of this memory or that memory, and it'll bring up those sensations, those feelings. And as you said, sometimes there is time to prepare because you know ahead of time. And I'm going to have to say 8 out of 10 times, you're not always prepared. It just comes at you. And when it comes at you, is when that wall goes up all of a sudden and your energy shifts, and it's first, I think, shock because you're not sure what to do, when to do it, how to do it, or anything else. But all of us at different stages of our growth, all of us in different things that we have experienced and gone through, and we're all still here to talk about it. So at some point, you grew. You found a light. You found something to pull you out of that in order to help yourself step up, to help yourself feel better. And I think that's a real important thing, to have go-tos. And a lot of people in their lives, they have go-tos, and some of them don't even realize it until they get in that situation. And once they start feeling the grieving, and once they begin, you know, the crying all the time, or the detached feelings, or the hopelessness, or whatever feelings that they are feeling, all of a sudden, you know, all of us are forced into the situation of looking in ourselves. When we start feeling those feelings, all of those different feelings within inside of yourself, we start looking inside of ourselves and say, okay, what happened? Why am I like this? Why am I being like this? You know, why am I reacting in this manner? So I think it gives us a time to internalize as well as externalize. And with that, I'll go ahead and give it back to you, Jane.
Thank you. I actually really liked one of the things that you had to say. We're forced to look inside. We're forced to figure out what's going on and how we're relating to a situation and why we're relating to the situation the way that we are. We're forced to do that through this process. And that's actually a really good thing to mention, because that is the growth that can happen through grieving. One thing that you had mentioned, I think I had touched on it a little bit too, and I think it's an important part of this, is we do grieve over who we were to that person. And that's one of the hardest things for us to get over. And if we really, if we're talking about a person that really loved us, they would want us to let go of that. And what I find, at least with people that I have worked with in the past, not necessarily in the psychic world, but more in the spiritual counseling that I did as a pastor, was I found that what people would do is if they lost a loved one, and let's say they would spend 4 or 5 hours a day with this loved one, that was their investment in this relationship, what would happen when that person passed away is they wouldn't know what to do with this particular time frame in their life, and so they would just use that time frame to go over the loss, or to really reinstate that connection, even though that connection was no longer there. And so there's two things that are happening when we're grieving. We're losing who we are in relationship to the other person, but then we're also losing the physical dynamic of the other person. And I want to make sure I say that very clearly. We're losing the physical dynamic of that other person, because we are never losing the person themselves, the energy or the vibration of that person. What we're losing is our ability to reach out and touch them in a state of form on this physical earth. And so I really think it's important to point it out that way, because a lot of times, and this is not just my experience, although I have personally experienced this with the loss of my father, with the loss of my brother, and with the loss of my best friend, I have personally experienced that the more I'm able to relinquish this physical dynamic of the relationship, I actually am more in tune with the vibrational aspect of the relationship, meaning I still hear them, not often or not as frequently, but I still hear them. I still interact with them. I actually talk to them occasionally. My dad actually I talk to quite a bit now. But anyway, it's the dynamic of the relationship that's changing. We have to see that, rather than if their physical body dies, that their consciousness dies as well, because that is not true. We are all eternal beings that are living in this place of space-time that exists in duality. I mean, we're experiencing duality at the moment, and part of that duality is birth and death. And that we come from no form, and then we enter back into no form as we die. So that's the dynamic that we're experiencing. Another thing that, first of all, let me just look at my notes real quick. Okay. Another thing that is very important is a lot of times I find people struggle with the grieving, and it will last many, many years if they resist change in their life in general. And this is something that you can take on or to make important to yourself now, is that understand that this world is constantly changing. The reality that we experience every day, I mean, everything is all around us is always changing. And what we have, we're in a society right now, first of all, we're in a society that's at a state of panic. And that's just kind of, it's unfortunate, but that seems like a lot of people just live at a state of panic. Not all of us, but a lot of us. And a lot of that has to do with people, being connected, having intimate relationship with computers, intimate relationship with television or movies. It's kind of induced this instant gratification culture, and we are. Don't get me wrong. There is a purpose behind being dramatic when you lose someone, and I'm not undermining that. However, there is also an intrinsic value in going outside and being present on the planet. Not present, not seeing it through the eyes of the TV, but going outside and seeing the seasons change, seeing things grow, seeing things die off. There's intrinsic value in that. And that often, when people recognize the way that the earth is shifting and moving, and how, my fiance and I are walking, we always like to look at trees that have fallen and died. Not because we really look at death as any higher than life, but really because we see that the earth is constantly reforming itself through this process of death and rebirth. And that's one thing that is important to understand and I feel helps us through these difficult times, is that everything is in a constant state of change. In fact, your body is in a constant state of change. It's not that you're getting older, it's that your body is continually renewing itself with new cells being regenerated over and over again. And so I feel like that's one thing, and I know I've been hitting on this a lot, but I feel like that's one thing that almost intensifies it, and it makes it so that people don't have power in the state of grief. The grieving process is important because it allows us to understand the change that is taking place in the relationship. We understand that person is no longer in physical form, that they're in, ethereal, or they're in spirit form on a different plane. But I feel like our disconnect with the earth has really changed. I don't want to say this because I don't know historically, so I can't say with historical accuracy. But what I can say is through observation, people who have connection to the earth and the changes that exist in the earth normally have an easier time walking through the grieving process and experiencing the spiritual dynamic of what's happening faster than those who have a strong disconnect with what's going on around them. And so, Cheyenne, I would like to hear what you have to say about that. I mean, you could disagree with me if you want, but that's just kind of one thing that I have observed that I feel is true, is that there's a huge disconnect in just the nature of things. And so we pretend like we're not going to die when death is a part of this planet. So what do you think about that?
No, I totally agree. I think that's why grieving hits people as hard as it does.
Mm-hmm.
The earth has always had cycles. It's always gone in cycles. Why would we be any different? We're the same matter. I mean, these are suits we've got on right now. This isn't who we are. We're just got suits on. And everything is always, like you said, in a constant state of flux and change, always. Whether it's the energy running through you, the energy you're surrounded by, doesn't matter. It's always in a state of change. But when you feel those different changes, just as you were talking about, the fallen trees and so forth and so on, a human being, at some point during their life, and I'm not talking about people that are aware, people, have certain belief systems, but the majority that I meet, this is all there is. And once the flesh dies, that's it. So that's why it hits them so hard. I'm going to use one example. One person that passed my family that I was extremely close to is my grandfather. And when he passed away, I was lost for a month. I mean, really lost for a month. But I always talked to him. From the moment it happened, and to this day I talk to him. I still have pictures of him. I still have little cutouts of the newspaper that he gave me and stuff, inserted in different books. So when I come across him, I look at it and I read through it, and I say, Grandpa, I've still got this. So it's a change. Everything's in a constant flux, a constant change. That I agree with 100%. And it is true. And I'm not making one more important than the other. When we lose a loved one, it is because we are grieving ourselves. But I'm sorry, that's just my point of view, because like you said, we can't reach out and touch them anymore. We don't see them physically running around in front of us or have that bonding physically with them. That's what we miss. And I have believed that since I was a child. My great grandmother passed away. My mother thought I was insane because my sister, excuse me, I stood there and kept talking to her, and she looked at me, and I said, "Mom, she's not dead. That's just the body she was using. She's not dead." And I was 6 years old. And she just looked at me, you know, like I was totally insane, and I got punished for it, you know. And, see, I was brought up in a family that even during grieving times, you were not permitted to cry. You were not permitted to cry. If you cried, you got slapped. You are not supposed to grieve and mourn anything. It's just here, and then it's gone, and that's it. And that was a very cold, cut-off, I don't even know the words to explain that, a very cubicle thing in, around a lot of the people that I grew up with in my family. You know, they just, no. They operated out of fear. They operated out of anger. But you were never permitted to cry or to miss or you know, to grieve in any way, shape, or form. And I always found that odd. Let me look here, because there's a couple other things that you said. And, yeah, again, when we lose ourselves, you know, when we lose a piece of ourselves, whether you're aware of it or not, there's some part of you that is going to grieve over that. There is some part of you that's going to react to that, because it's a shift, it's a change. And people in general become familiar with those things around them. And when those things get shifted around or taken away or something else, they grieve, they feel bad. You know, and the reason I keep using grief is a lot of different things. There's a lot of words to describe grieving. So, you know, by all means, look at that. I don't trash everything of people that come and go. I've had hundreds and hundreds of people that have come and gone in my life that I just dearly loved. But, you know, I didn't go out and trash everything that was theirs and so forth and so on. Like everybody else in my family, I held the things that, you know, I held on to because, hey, I talked to them. They're here. And a lot of people don't see that when they're going through grieving. Again, it's very, very difficult when you're in that bubble to see outside of it. And the one thing, I agree, the one major constant in life is change. It's just like, don't believe that my body, you know, this when it dies, this is not me. I do not believe that I die. The physical body goes back, you know, into what it is, matter. But I'm not this. I'm using this. So my spirit and the energy that I have running through me is what I am, who I am, and that's what, you know, dictates everything else after it. People don't realize, I know I keep repeating this, you don't grieve over just people that are lost. You know, and I like the way that you put it, because there are so many people that I have met that is what I call digitized. Okay? They've got to have that TV every day. If they don't have that TV every day, they freak. They panic. They get scared. Everything that you would do in a grieving state, they do. Just the other day, I was having a conversation with someone. I said, you know, I said, everything has become so digitized and everything else. I said, what would people do if all of the electric and all of the digital circuits and airwaves and everything else went down? And actually, there were two of those people who really did. I mean, it started worrying them. And I've seen it happen to people. I've met a lot of shut-ins that I know for a fact. If they lost their TV, if they lost their radio or something, they would grieve that. They would you know, withdraw even more. They would cry. They would totally separate themselves, and they would be in a state of, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's why, you know, I say I like having the ideas of go-tos. But when that state hits you and when you're not sure what it is, be still. That's all I can say is be still. Yes, cry, because crying is releasing. You're letting that energy out of your body. That is completely normal. But just stop. You know, it's like one person that I know, every time she gets in a state of being, you know, near grieving something, the first thing she does is begin cleaning. And she will clean for as many days, as weeks as she has to. Even if she did it the day before, she'll do it the next day. And it's because she's avoiding it, because she doesn't know what to do with it. And I said, just sit down. Just for a little while. Just sit down for a little while. And just sit there. Sit comfortably. Don't make yourself think anything. Don't force yourself to do anything. If you feel an emotion, let the emotion come up and see where it's coming from. And it's the same thing with my Reiki clients. You know, I explain to them, Reiki brings emotions up. Gently, but it brings emotions up to the surface. And you actually feel these things. Feelings exist within us for a reason. It's kind of like a compass. So you're either going to know what's going on inside of you or you're not. But there's nothing wrong with grieving. You need to let that out of you. But just don't get lost in it so much that it ends up taking all of you. And that's what happens with some people when they get sucked into that little bubble. It ends up draining them because they lose all hope. They don't see anything around them. That's why I believe, I don't know how many of you have heard couples that have been together, say, 60 years. When one dies shortly after, well, the other follows. My grandparents did it exactly 1 year apart on the same identical day. And it was natural. It wasn't suicide. But just allow yourself to feel things. Don't let anybody tell you that it's wrong or bad or you shouldn't be behaving that way or whatever the cause is. If you're feeling it, you're feeling it for a reason. So allow it to surface. See where it's coming from. But at the same time, once you recognize where it's coming from and why it's there, do something to make yourself feel better. If it's talking to a person, if it's talking to an object, if it's reading something, if it's just getting outside and going for a long walk, whatever it is, do it. And don't let somebody, you know, tell you you're wrong for feeling that. We have these for a reason. Let them come up. See where they're coming from. Because the more that we carry around those type of feelings within us, the more problems, so to speak, we end up having. So, you know, I'm sorry to keep going, James. It's just that I really, 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 you know, with all the different stages of grieving and stuff, first time I ever caught myself grieving and I mean really grieving and getting in that bubble, it shook me up the first time. And to, you know, I've gone through a lot of it. I've lost 97% of my entire family. So it's difficult. It's difficult. But allow yourself to feel the feelings. Don't let someone tell you that it's not right. Somebody looks at you when you're crying and says, you have no reason to be crying. Well, apparently you do have a reason because you're doing it. Just don't get lost in it. Try to breathe. Find something in order to grow past that stage instead of leaving yourself stuck. And with that, I'll go ahead and give it back to you. Sorry I talked so long.
Hey, you can talk as long as you want to. Anyway, this is James again. I wanted to mention Stars Mystical Water says that some Native American cultures or some Native American tribes believe that if you cry over a death, then you are dishonoring the person who has passed. I do believe that to some degree. I think that if the people that have passed on, if we are continually entering into a state of, and please excuse us, because I let me think of the best way to say this actually. If we are entering into a state that is causing paralysis in our life, meaning that we're not able to move and do what we are supposed to be doing on this planet because of a loss, then I would agree with that particular perspective that you are dishonoring the person who has passed. Because if anyone loved you, like let's say, you know, if I were to pass today, and there are many, many people out there that I know love me and I love them and cherish them. If they were to stop their lives because of the loss of me, it would be dishonoring me. And it's the same with my dad. You know, I know who he was, and I know what his perspective was on life. And his, you know, one of the things, one of the greatest things that he ever taught me was keep going. You know, keep going on, keep moving on, and not denying what is real. Because I think part of this whole process is accepting what is really real. And I think that when people get stuck in a state where they you know are freaking out, or they're you know constantly turning on the television as to avoid their emotions, that is the absolute opposite of grieving. I do not believe that that's the grieving process. I think that that's avoidance. And I'm not saying this in a harsh way. You know, understand that I love you, and I'm saying this in the context of love. But stop it. If you find yourself in that place, if you're listening to the show right now and you find yourself in that place, stop it. You're not helping yourself by satiating those emotions. I love what Cheyenne was saying, is that the emotions are important. They actually have a message behind them. They're saying something. Now, sometimes they are saying to cry, and sometimes they're not saying to cry, and I think it's important for us to ask our emotions what they're trying to tell us. Sometimes, and this is one thing that has worked really well for me. I do believe in therapy. I've been through therapy for several years of my life, and I appreciate it tremendously, because it's brought me to a state where I feel more at peace and more loving towards the people that are around me. But if you need that, go. Don't hesitate. If you need someone to talk to, there are support groups out there. There are churches. Now, I'd be very cautious and conscious of which church you choose, but there are methods that you can use to get yourself through the emotions that you're experiencing. And it is important to feel them when you're feeling them. And sometimes people will be, I actually talked to one lady who, she said, I've been crying for a year. Every day I cry for 2 or 3 hours. And she'd been doing this for a year. And so, well, obviously those tears aren't doing you much good. Let's ask Spirit what's going on. And Spirit's response was, you need to get really pissed off. You have trapped anger in there, and you keep coating it, and you keep covering it up with these tears. I said, so what I felt Spirit was telling her to do was go and take a tennis racket, and go beat up your couch. Go beat up some of the pillows. Go beat up your couch and get that, and feel the anger and get that out of you. And she came back a week later, and she said, I haven't cried for a whole week. This is a lady who'd cried for a year, several hours a day, or a couple hours a day, and I was like, well, you know, that's good. That's a confirmation that we heard from Spirit. But I think it is important to get to the root of what is really going on. And if you find yourself, and I can tell you, if you are one of those people, as Cheyenne had mentioned, if you know, she knows people that if all of the media were to shut down, if all of the television streams, all of the internet, if that were just to shut down, people would grieve over that. I can tell you for a fact, that's not what you're grieving over. You're grieving over your avoidance of your emotion. That's really what you'd be grieving over. So if you're in that state, if you contemplate that and you think, oh, what would I do without my television? You need to quit your television right now, and you need to find out what's really going on. Because television can be a wonderful thing. It can be very entertaining. But if you're using that to numb your pain, there's something else going on in your situation that you have not yet dealt with. And if you are using it to numb your pain, I can guarantee you are not living at the peak, or you're not living at a place where you can manifest what you truly desire in this life. And I can probably guarantee that if you are there, you do not feel good about yourself. You do not feel good about your relationships. And you may a little bit, but for the most part, if you are in that state, you really need to take an assessment of your life and figure out what's really going on. And I know that sounds really harsh, but this is what we're talking about today is not necessarily just the stages of grief. Oh, I'm angry, I'm sad, we're not talking about that. We've actually talked about that on another show, and I really encourage you to listen to that other show, because that actually went through the stages of grief and the importance of the stages. But right now, I really felt like when this message was coming forward, when we had discussed this message, I feel like there are a lot of people out there that are just stuck. And they're stuck in a few different things. They're stuck in a state of panic. Oh, my God, what's going to happen in the future? First of all, if you're watching the news, shut it off. There is a reason why in between every news segment, they advertise antidepressants, okay? You need to just shut it off. I'm not saying it's real or not real, but you need to align yourself more with what's going on in the world today, not necessarily what's going on the television. We have to understand that what we take into our minds through our eyes is important to how we live our life. It actually has it actually can fundamentally change your biology. You look at authors like Bruce Lipton, who's a scientist who studies the biology of belief and what that does to our bodies. When we are engaging in things like, constantly engaging with these negative messages that the media is giving to us, what we're doing is it has a negative influence, not just, we think that, oh, it's going to be fine, it's just fantasy, because some people just live in that fantasy world, that it really does have a fundamental impact on where you're at and what you're doing. So there are a lot of positive shows out there. There's a lot of positive things that you can do, but make sure you pay attention to what you're engaging with. And also, if you're one of those people that would grieve if the television were shut off for any given time, I would challenge you today. Find out why, because there's a deeper reason why, and it has nothing to do with the television. You're satiating another emotion through the means of television, and all you're doing is you're entering into a state of addiction, and you're just recycling that over and over. And by the way, I say this I may be coming across a little harsh right now, and I just want everybody to know, I want to confirm again, hey, I love you guys. I really do, and that's why I'm saying these things, because I feel like we're at a stage in human history where it's important for us to not enter in to that crisis thinking or that panic thinking that most of our culture is in. I mean, we're panicked about the government. We're panicked about the economy. We're panicked about the wars that are going on in other countries that don't have anything to do with us. Personally, on a personal level, and very few of us go outside and go, just, I appreciate what's around us, appreciate the peace that is around us, appreciate the abundance that we actually do have. We're too busy being in a panic over what we don't have. And so I say this with a tremendous amount of love, and I want to encourage you. You had brought up something, Cheyenne, about people who don't believe that there is an afterlife, and I would say to you, if you are that person, I would assess, see if that is a valuable belief system. See if that is contributing to your life. Is it giving you more love for other people, and is it bringing you to a state of peace? Because most people who are, I don't mind skeptics. Skeptics are the agnostics, and the people who are just, oh, I just really don't know. And what I would say to the skeptic is, well, find out. Figure this out. Find out. There's a reason why we have these questions, and it's so that we find answers. I mean, one of the things that I work with a lot with my clients is they have these desires that are constantly that are never being met, and they're never being met. And it's like, well, those desires are there for a reason. So obviously, it's your strategy that's not lining up with your desires. And most of the time, their strategy is, oh, well, I'm never going to find the relationship that I want, or I'm never going to. And so they're not really lining up with their desire. They're lining up with fear, and that's why their desires are never fulfilled. So I want to get real serious about this particular thing, because I feel like, there, first of all, just through the grieving process, when we make it through the grieving process, we have a lot more to offer people. We can offer them a tremendous resource, because we can invite them into a state of peace after they have lost something or someone. And I think that that's why it's important for us, whoever is listening to this, I'm not sure, we have a few people in the room right now, whoever is listening to this, I think it is important for us to actually go through this process and deal with and be real with what's going on so that we can invite people into that state of peace. Because that's, I mean, when we are there, the more of us that have that state of peace and alignment, we're going to get to a place, and I really feel this is true. I don't know about you, Cheyenne, but I feel like globally on this planet, once we hit a place where we are at what's called critical mass. It's what Gandhi constantly waited for. It was when enough people believed something, he saw that, he acted upon it, and there was a shift in the whole culture. And I believe that there are a lot of people that are embracing this idea that we can be at peace and letting go of some of the things that are just the addictions, really. I'm just going to put it right out there. The addictions that are holding us back from living as fully as we can really live on this planet. And I believe that we're reaching a stage in human history where 100 years from now, people are going to look back and go, how in the world did so many people miss what was going on in the world? How in the world did people miss what was really taking place? And I believe it's because people are hypnotizing themselves through addiction, through drugs or media or whatever, their computers, and they're not engaged with the planet itself and what's going on the planet itself. So I know that was a lot. Cheyenne, I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to you. And I want to say one more thing. I know that these words may sound different than what you're used to, but I also want to say that I do truly love everyone that I'm speaking to. And if you are grieving, I empathize with you. I understand what you are going through. I have been through it. I've been through it several times in my life. And I don't want you to think that I am just giving you a harsh thing to accept. I'm giving you reality. And that's what I feel like we need to accept is reality and an understanding that we are able to move beyond our own pain, that there is actually peace on the other side of this pain that we're experiencing. So, Cheyenne, go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and pass it on to you.
Okay. Well, basically the same thing. You know, some of the things that I say, it is the same thing. I am only saying them because 9 times out of 10, if you talk to somebody else, I'm sorry, but they're not going to be honest with you. They're going to sugarcoat it, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. That's the first thing. Second thing, I come from a line of Native Americans. And that is why I was so chastised when I was younger, because of me crying. And when my grandfather died, I did cry. He was the only one that I cried over. But again, that's a mass belief system as well. And I believe in the emotions. Again, I'm saying they are tools. When you have these emotions come up, you're signaling to something else. Stop, see what you're feeling, where it's coming from, why are you feeling it, what has happened in your life to make you feel that. And be honest with yourself. Don't kid yourself. And as James says, you know, if you don't feel you can be honest with yourself, then find some type of group or person or therapist or whomever to talk to about it. But choose somebody that's going to be honest with you, not somebody who's just going to blow smoke at you. Just like you, James, during a lot of my Reiki treatments and so forth, it's the same thing. You know, they have this pattern of one stage of something, crying or whatever, and when it actually comes up, it was related to something else, and once that was addressed and dealt with, all of a sudden it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And it does happen. Grieving is normal, but it is not normal to get lost in it. There's a difference. You're going to feel grieving, but don't get lost in it. Listen to ourselves. Listen to what your body's telling you. Listen to what that emotion's telling you. Everybody that knows me personally, you know, I've always told, I always wanted the Louisiana style funeral type thing. You know, they play the dirge on the way, and then when they're coming back, everybody's partying. It's kind of like, I want people to get together and remember the fun things, laugh about things, you know, love things that we did together, different things like that. I don't want people to sit there and do nothing but cry and feel bad and feel sorry that all this is gone and everything else, because it's not gone. The body's gone, but that is the only thing that's gone. And again, that's my personal belief system. Critical mass, that is something that a lot of people are caught up in. And it's a lot of things that people don't look at because, again, they get inside that bubble, you know, and they don't see past that bubble. Yes, there is a lot going on in the world. And each individual sector of it is going on for its own reason. What you are surrounded by right now is where you're supposed to be. And there's a reason that you're there. If you're worried about the future and everything else, you're not here now. You're not in the present. You're not enjoying what is in front of you. You're not appreciating what you do have in front of you now. And I think that's, again, after going through the growth period, that's where you get to. Human beings, again, emotions, grieving is normal, but there is another side to that. There is growing from it. So once you acknowledge it, once you figure out what it is, definitely, you know, change your course or path. Find something or do something that you are drawn to, because there will be something come up. Something will come up. And if you sit still, or, you know, you keep yourself open to it, it's going to come, and you're going to realize it. But I also agree with change. There are those people, you know, who have these addiction things going on with all this other stuff. You know, I know so many people, just the people I live around alone, they're all digital people. They're constantly looking down and texting on the phone, constantly. And by that, I mean constantly. Not once in a while, constantly. It's like, okay, you know, that's a robotic thing there, folks. You got live people around you. But it's difficult to say that to somebody because they look at you like you're insane. It's like, you know, I appreciate my flowers that I have. I appreciate that I have a roof over my head. I appreciate that I have my scented candle. I appreciate the things that are around me that I do have. I'm not going to sit here and worry about what I don't have or you know, if I'm going to get it. Because it's real easy to put yourself in that realm, especially if you're going through a stage of grieving. It's all the ifs, ands, buts, shoulds, coulds. And when those things happen, you know, stop and feel yourself. How does that make you feel when you think of those things? How does it make you feel when you have those sensations, those emotions, and see where they're coming from? You know, it's very important that we see where it's coming from. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to grieve over someone being lost or something being lost. I'm saying look at why you're grieving over it. Stop and see what comes to you so that you know the grieving time is over and it's time to get on. Because there are times that people get caught in that bubble, in that loop, and they don't feel good, they're not healthy, they're not seeing anything else that's around them. And that's a very, very important thing to realize. There is life going on around you. You're going to have people tell you all the time, you know, different religions and this and that. You can do this, you can't do that, blah, 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 and everything else. Okay? And the only thing I have to say to that is, if it doesn't feel right when you try to do it, then ask yourself if it's out of fear or if it's because you really feel that it's not the right thing to do. Because if you're honest with yourself and you go to do something, okay, it might be a little bit scary, but is it the right thing to do? And you're just scared because you're looking at the other side thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to be the backlash from this? It's easier to say, okay, if it's not coming from fear, go ahead and do it. Try it. Because maybe you will finally walk out of that bubble. You will walk out of what that emotion or whatever it is that is eating at you. Because it is eating at you. It changes your vibration. It changes the energy in your body. It changes everything around you. As James said, you know, you stay in that, you're going to push everything away from you. That's what ends up happening, is that you push things away from you. It's to where if you acknowledge it, see where it's coming from, growing from that experience, watch and see how many doors open. Watch and see how many things come to you. Because that's going to be your guidepost, so to speak. Those who aren't, you know, very intuitive, I'm going to put it that way, or anything else, just try that, because you're going to see or feel something come to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different words to describe grieving. There's a lot of different reasons for grieving, but there's also a time you need to look at why you're grieving and why it hasn't stopped.
Absolutely.
And that's about all I had to say right now on that. As I said, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or anything, you know, but I know from my personal life, and I've been told by my own mother, who's the only matriarch, the only older one left, you know, she says, you've lived 100 lifetimes in 53 years. Yeah, it feels like it. So I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I just know what it took for me and what it took for other people I worked with, okay, and what I have seen, because I can't teach, I can't explain an experience that I have not experienced. So, you know, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything else, but stop hurting yourself, stop to see where it's coming from, and what is it going to take for you to move forward. And it's back to you, James.
Okay, so I wanted to, there were a couple comments on the chat that were really good. One of them was, we have to take time to grieve, and that is very true. And I think that's part of what I was trying to convey when it comes to, you know, things like television or the digital age where people are stuck to their cell phones and all of that. I do feel like there is time, that we need time, and I'll be honest with you, I am still, you know, my father passed away in February. I would not be surprised if over the next couple of years there are times when emotion comes up,
mm-hmm.
that are attached to the physicality of who my dad was,
mm-hmm.
and I grieve, and I go through the process of dealing with whatever emotion comes up. Now, it's not something I go through every day, and actually what happens with the grieving process is, as we deal with the emotions as they come on, they dampen. The time that we grieve is lesser. It gets to, from my
shorter.
Experience. It's shorter. It's shorter and shorter and further between, and that's just kind of how the process happens. But you're right, we do need to make time for this process that is taking place. And that's the one thing I see people not doing, is they're like, oh, okay, I feel really bad right now. I'm going to turn on the TV and I'm going to eat a bag of popcorn or whatever, you know. What's the depression food now? I don't know. I don't eat sugar or white flour or any processed foods, so I have no idea, but I can tell you what my depression food was. It used to be Doritos. And I would sit with a bag of Doritos, and I would watch something horrific on TV, and I would be like, oh, I feel a lot better. And I never really did. But the reality was, as I was just trying to satiate what was going on. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Yeah, justify it.
Justify it, yeah. It's like, oh, I'm just gonna pretend like this isn't real. What's going on in my situation is just not real. And that's what I was talking about earlier. We have to get into the isness of life, or what is really going on around us and what is really going on inside of us. More importantly, when it comes to the grieving process, what is going on inside of us is the most important. And if you find yourself eating your depression food, watching your depressing, your depressive shows, even if they're not depressing, quote-unquote, but if you're using it to get rid of an emotion, I can guarantee you that's what's going on. So, but I don't want to take away from the reality of what's going on. It is important for people to take time to grieve. It's just
mm-hmm.
that's important. And then one other thing that somebody had mentioned was, and I think it was, let me scroll back up here because I really liked what was said here. Oh, stop posting, you guys. No, I'm just kidding. You can keep posting. I celebrate the life of a person, not the death. And I agree. I agree
yeah.
with that to a certain degree. I think that we have to grieve. We have to go through the emotional disconnect to their physical, to who they were physically to us.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're gone forever, but we do have to. I mean, there is a dynamic of that where we have to deal with the emotion of losing something. Even though we know, oh yes, they're in spirit, and we have just as much access to them now. In fact, we really have more access to them now than we did before, because that physical body is really, you know, it really restrains us from doing so much. So we have more access to them now. We just can't reach out and touch them. But so I do feel like there's that dynamic, but also we have to live their legacy. We have to continue on with their legacy, with whatever part of us was with them in our physical life. We are carrying on that legacy, and part of that is acknowledging that they would not want us to sit and suffer for years and years and years after their passing. And it may take you years and years and years to completely, you know, wash out what's going on. But I can tell you, if that's happening every day, I would go find a support group. I would go find, you know, go get a reading with somebody who's a good reader, and find out what's really going on there, because I can guarantee you something's going on. You know, I can guarantee you that there's more going on in that. And stop numbing the pain through other things. I thought it was really funny, and this is totally unrelated. I just thought it was funny that you were talking about people who are just digitized. And when I tell people I don't have a cell phone, there's a reason why I don't have a cell phone. I'm a channeler, and when I channel, I pick up cell phones, and they don't work for me. After I channel, they just don't work. And so when I tell people I don't have a cell phone, they look at me like I have three heads. And I'm like, well, you know what? I start channeling, and guess what? You'll realize that cell phones aren't as useful as you thought they were.
True.
Yeah. I mean, that just, I don't know why. I was able to use cell phones up until about 8 months ago. And now, after I channel for a few hours after that, I can't even pick up a cell phone without it going, it just goes crazy. Usually it ends up shutting off or making weird noises, and I just can't use it. So, and it was funny because about maybe 8 months ago, I had gotten the premier cell phone. It was the best cell phone that you could get. And I'm like, I'm gonna spend this $800. I'm gonna get the best cell phone that is available. And then I ended up giving it to my fiance because it does not work for me at all. So anyway, I do understand. It is important to be where you're at, to be with those who are around you. One thing that Jesus said was, love your neighbor as yourself. And when somebody asked him who their neighbor was, he said, whoever is in front of you. You know, he said, he gave a story of two enemies, and one of the enemies was hurt, and the other one picked him up and took care of them, and then he said that was their neighbor because they were right there in front of them. And I think that that's important as well. We need to be in the context. We need to be with whatever situation is presented with us in the day, and not try to avoid that situation by either, one, becoming digitized, or two, just through avoidance. Engage with your life. I mean, when you go to the grocery store, engage with the people that you are that are around you. Engage with your life. You'll be amazed at the fruit that will come from your life if you just simply engage with it, and stop trying to desensitize yourself or turn yourself off through this through the digital world. And I love the digital world. I mean, I work online. Of course, I love the digital world. I'm doing a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, come
right.
on now. I've got two thumbs up for the digital world. But there's a place and there's a time, and
right.
and I feel like we cannot use this as a means to numbing our pain. And so those are my final thoughts. Oh, one more final thought. We are a psychic network, which means that we believe in spiritual things. And so if you're on this show, I'm kind of getting the understanding that you probably believe in spiritual things too. So I want to encourage you. There's help for you. First of all, there's help on the line, but there's also spiritual help for you. And don't underestimate the power of asking for help. Ask the angels. Ask. One of the things that works really well for me is I ask Jesus. I grew up in the Christian church, and I resonate really well with the healing imagery that's in the gospel. And so I ask Jesus, please help me with whatever I'm going through, and please walk me through the healing process. Do not underestimate the power that comes when you ask the Spirit for help. And I did want to specifically mention that, because I feel it is one thing that, you know, even in the esoteric spiritual community, sometimes we forget that we have access to spirit. And it's like, are you kidding me? Ask for help. Ask for Spirit's guidance, and it will come. I can guarantee it. I can tell you from personal experience. I can tell you from grieving some of the most tragic losses that I've ever that more than what most people have experienced who are my age. I know that, you know, older people usually have experienced a lot more than a 34-year-old, but I can tell you that the help is there if you are willing to ask. And with that, I mean, those were my final thoughts. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining us for the show. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm going to pass it on to Cheyenne for her final words.
I totally agree. You know, there is a time for grieving. No one is saying not to grieve. The whole purpose of this is of how to deal with it and how to grow from it. And everybody goes through a grieving period over something or someone. But again, just as you had said, Jane, it shifts and it changes. All of a sudden, you know, the crying spells start lessening and they get further apart. And the missing and catching yourself and holding your breath, all of this changes. And there's nothing wrong with grieving. But when you get caught in it and stay in it for so long, there has to be other reasons attached to that. And, yes, you know, definitely. That is one thing that I have known, done from the time I was very young, and I tell everybody, all you have to do is ask for help. You get help. You just got to keep asking for the help, because once you ask for help, you leave an open doorway for some of the angelic realm, ascended masters, whomever, to come in and help. You have to open that doorway. And with us being spiritualists, this is what we believe in. Things that most people can't see. Things that people really, you know, if they can't reach out and touch it, don't believe in. But the first step is always having to ask for help. Because somebody taught me a long, long time ago, and it was one of my guys, you know, you have people watching over you all the time. You have angelic realm. You have all these different realms and all these beings that watch over you. But they're not going to stick their finger in things until you ask them to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, you've got to open the door. You got to be willing to ask, and you got to be willing to accept in whatever form it comes. You know, and it might not always come in the form that you're wanting it or something that's familiar. It might be something totally different and new, but it will come. I have never in my life, myself nor anyone that I have known, that has consciously asked for help that has not received help in some manner. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody that's in the room and stuff, and anybody and everybody who's listening, and Natalie for hosting, and James for you, you know, helping out here and everything. And I really, really hope that someone out there somewhere heard something that they're going to be able to use, something that they're going to say, hey, the light bulb went on. Okay, that's it. So that'll be my good night for the night, and I'll turn it over to Natalie now.
Okay, well, this was very enlightening for me, because everything you talked about, I too, like James, talk to Jesus every day, and you're right. You have to ask. If you don't ask, shame on you, because there is help for you. Just because I lost my husband 2.5 years ago, I'll quickly tell you the best thing for me has been to stay busy. Get my motivation back, get excited about things. I love learning software and programs from Tony. And when my mental state is if I'm educated, if I'm learning something, whatever it is, some kind of programming, being able to do something, it's like I'm like in another world. And you do go through it differently. Everybody goes through it differently. My son and I talk an awful lot, and we laugh about how his dad was and all that. And then there are times when we get really quiet. Sometimes he has a tough time. Sometimes I have a tough time. You go so many steps forward, and then you go so many steps back. And there is no set rule of how long it's going to take you. You will never forget that person, ever. But what you need to do is surround yourself with loving, kind people. When I'm in the grocery store, I'm helping everybody. I mean, I just kind of like pick over, you know, see a little old lady who's struggling, and I'll say, can I help you? Are you looking for something? You know, I do that all the time, and I think that really has helped me, extending myself to help other people. And, of course, I'm surrounded by how many beautiful, beautiful spirits I have working on the site that are just so great. I mean, they're in the room, and let's give thanks right now to them. We have, of course, Candy, Stars Psychic Priestess. Candy is in, Stars James, of course, who's on the radio, Stars Dragon Spirit, all a.k.a. Cheyenne. We have Stars Mystical Waters, and tonight we have Stars Ruby Ann, and I always call her Ruby with the red shoes. And she's probably laughing because she's going to hear this, but when I did her interview, I saw Dorothy with those red sparkly shoes on, you know, in Wizard of Oz, clicking her heels. It just made me feel so good, you know. So when she writes to me, she says, this is Ruby with the red shoes. So everybody knows who she is. But anyways, and James, you're just so wonderful. You really, really are. I hope you love this, because I just love listening to you and Cheyenne, and I just think it's a wonderful thing. And the next week, we're supposed to be talking about the language of dreams. How awesome is that? Everybody dreams, so that's going to be good. So, everybody have a great evening tonight. Thank you for coming, those who are in the room, and, of course, Cheyenne and James, and I love you guys a whole lot. And now it's off, and I'm going to get off, and I'm going to go have my dinner and watch some TV and play with Mushy. And I have another bird here. It's my son's bird. Her name is Dixie Girl. And,
oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, but she's a bigger bird, you know, but she's been playing it for all it's worth. They come back tomorrow. They were in Pennsylvania. But, I mean, oh, she's been the brat. I mean, like a little princess. Like, well, I'm not going to eat. I am not going to eat. So I just ignored her. I mean, they really do that. Leo is stuffing himself like a little pig and looking at her like, what are you, stupid? But she's eating now. She's eating now. I figured out her game right away. But anyways, everybody have a great evening, and we're going to do this again next week, same time, same station. And I love you guys. I love you, Cheyenne. Love you, James. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Night, all.